Neither 36-year-old John Lewis nor 67-year-old John Driscoll has a negative thing to say about the other. The age difference between the two is only raised when directly asked, and even then the answers are cordial. Driscoll, the semi-retired Army National Guard colonel, former Speaker of the Montana House, and former Montana Public Service Commissioner, says Lewis is an impressive young man.
I think he's a pretty sharp young fellow, and I know that I was when I was his age. I'm certain that I was. I was Speaker of the House, and he's apparently done a lot of great things in Washington. It's impressed a lot of people in Washington, so more power to him. I think the only difference there is between myself and him is our age, and probably that I have maybe a wider range of experience in the military and in legislative environment. But he looks like a pretty sharp guy to me.
For his part, Lewis says this primary race isn't about a personal competition with Driscoll. He says it's about the future of Montana and doing what's best for Montanans. The former top aide to then-Senator Max Baucus sees his age as a benefit to voters.
It definitely helps me. I mean, I think I bring a unique perspective as a young father that's thinking about the long, long-term future of our state and our country. And I'm willing to listen and work with both sides and move this country forward, because I think that young folks in this country can see that Congress is not working and it's not thinking about the long-term future. And so that's what I bring to the table, and it's definitely an advantage.
Energy policy is certainly part of any candidate's long-term vision in this increasingly energy-hungry world. Driscoll says domestic energy production is key to America's economic strength and national security. He supports responsible development of our natural resources, such as coal and oil. He also backs development of the Keystone XL pipeline, but predicts it will run into significant political and administrative red tape in Nebraska, so much so that the project may never see the light of day. He says Americans must make our base load electrical plants more efficient than what they are now.
Because what happens when you increase the efficiency, the thermal efficiency of the coal fleet, the curves that contribute to global climate change, they start to flatten real fast. But you need to do it both for the U.S., which is a huge contributor to global climate change, and to the for the Chinese. But instead of putting old burners in or secondhand burners in, put the latest. And that's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, just like the use of oil for car fuel is dropping off for the first time, that's great. We need to keep conserving, and the same thing with our use of electricity.
While he says fossil fuels are the most cost-effective means of producing energy, he notes more research and development is necessary for renewables. In fact, he says he and his wife invested in solar panels for their home and plan to eventually purchase a plug-in hybrid. John Lewis says energy policy is always a delicate balancing act between creating and preserving jobs while simultaneously ensuring long-term energy supplies.
Energy jobs are a big part of the economy in Montana. For instance, what's going on in the Bakken, fracking has made our economy stronger and helped wean us off oil from unstable regimes. But we also need transparency, too. I think it's reasonable and responsible for people to know what's in fracking fluid. I think that that's common sense. And with coal, there's a lot of jobs affected by that industry, thousands of jobs and families in this state. But we also need to, like I said, think about the future.
Do you believe that the burning of fossil fuels contributes to global climate change?
I do. So that being part of it, our responsibility is let's develop an energy policy that focuses on clean and renewable energy and thinks about the long-term future.
Lewis says he conditionally supports the proposed Keystone XL pipeline, and those conditions include only if the project will support American workers, not decimate property values of farmers and ranchers, and that it be made with best available technologies and materials. He also wants to see a rock-solid emergency response plan in place. On the economy, John Driscoll says the nation's tax system is unnecessarily complicated.
It looks to me like Representative Camp from Michigan, who ran the Ways and Means Committee and had a long series of very serious hearings on how to simplify the tax code. And I think if just having it simple so people will do it will increase revenue because more people will stop hiding from the IRS.
What's the key point? I don't want to go too deep in the weeds, but the key point of this plan that really draws you in?
Well, it's revenue neutral, number one, but basically it reduces the number of tax classes to three.
Is it time, Mr. Driscoll, to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10?
Yeah, my thought was that's not as high as I thought it should be. I think $10.10, that doesn't quite meet my expectations if you take inflation into account. But that's easy for one for me, absolutely.
But how can small businesses that make up the bulk of Montana business, how can they afford that and without passing the cost on to their customers or shutting down altogether?
Well, if they need to be subsidized by the workers, then they got a problem.
John Lewis says there's no question that the nation's tax code needs to be simplified. He points out the mortgage interest deduction must be protected, though, as it benefits so many middle-class Americans.
We need to move forward and start the conversation, and that's just not happening.
Do you have any suggestions? You mentioned the mortgage interest. And anything else come to mind that you'd like to see repealed or otherwise?
Well, I think things in there, credits and deductions, I support ones that help our working folks and the middle class. And I'd have to take a look at all the long list of deductions before saying I support or don't support them. But that shows you the challenge faced by those that want to reform the code. And it's a big, big job, but we need to start that conversation and get moving on it.
Is it time, Mr. Lewis, to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10?
Absolutely. Women in this country make 75 cents to the dollar on what men make. In Montana, it's even less. It's about 67 cents. And of all those that make minimum wage in this country, two-thirds of them are women. It's time to raise the minimum wage.
Mm. But how can Montana small business owners make that happen without breaking their backs?
Minimum wage right now is not a living wage. You see it in Montana with, on the worker side of it, many workers working two, even three jobs to make ends meet. So we've got to find a way to balance that out. And also, of course, thinking about our small businesses and Main Street, and that's a challenge. But the current minimum wage, federal minimum wage, is not a living wage.
On gun control, Lewis says his heart goes out to victims of random gun violence.
As a father of small children, I can't even imagine the pain. And my first question with all this would be, what would make someone turn a firearm on innocent people? At the same time, I also believe we need to protect our constitutional rights, which means I support the right of law-abiding citizens to own firearms. And but with that comes an important responsibility. And I believe we need to enforce our current laws to prevent crimes, but also put a heavy focus on improving the way we treat mental health care in this country.
Meaning what?
Why would someone turn a firearm on innocent children? And so I don't know the answer to that question, but I'd like to know. And I think we need to put a focus there and make sure that the current laws that we have are working. I think we need to fully enforce the laws we have on the books today. If they're not working, then let's take a look at them and I'm happy to be part of that conversation.
John Driscoll estimates 54% of Montana families have at least 8 guns in the home. By his estimation, probably half are handguns and half rifles.
Well, that's a lot of guns, a lot of tonnage. And so my thinking is we need to start thinking about setting a tonnage limit in Montana. Whatever the tonnage is, and you could arrive at that by a lot of different ways, but whatever that is, that's certainly enough. And from now on, if you're going to buy a gun, you should pay a selective sales tax on it. And the sales tax should be, it can be higher than the 4% general sales tax limited by the Constitution. It could be as high as 100% unless you bring in a gun and exchange for it and keep the lid on the tonnage. And so if you want to have more guns, then pay more for them. And I think that I'm a real believer in the effects of price on people. It doesn't impinge on anybody's Second Amendment rights. It just says, okay, enough's enough.
Driscoll says the revenue raised from his tonnage proposal could be used to fund parks or shooting ranges or scholarships. Both men describe themselves as pro-choice candidates who also support gay marriage. John Lewis and John Driscoll are running for the Democratic nomination for Montana's U.S. House seat. The winner will face the winner of the Republican primary race, which features five candidates. Montana's primary is June 3rd. For Montana Evening Edition, I'm Edward O'Brien.